We see genuine love in the actions of our gracious God and our Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. He saw us as more important than Himself. And He did that in the context of obeying the Father. Genuine love.
Well, thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
Greg, according to recent research, those who claim to be Christians essentially live no different than their secular counterparts. You know, when it comes to relationships, money, morality, it would appear that we've lost our distinctiveness in the body of Christ.
You know, Dave, sadly, it appears to be the case. And even through my own personal observation, I would affirm that research. You see, but this should not be so. If one has truly been changed by Christ, they will live a different life. Now, today and in the next couple broadcasts, we're going to see in three short verses what living a godly life looks like. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, what do you think of when you think of love? Well, the world thinks of love most often as romantic love, or love in terms of a desire. I love to do this. I love to do that. I love this person or that person, whatever it might be. We tend to see love as something related to desire. What is it that you love? What is it that you desire? Well, in Scripture, we see that love is brought forth and shown to us in a different way. In a different way, because there's human love, which we do have, but there is also God's love. Now, many churches these days have a motto. You can go to almost all the seeker-friendly churches. They'll say that their motto is the Great Command and the Great Commission. What's the Great Command? You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, right? It speaks of love. But what is true biblical love? What is true biblical love that will bring God glory? Well, today we're going to see how we can glorify God in our lives. Would you turn with me to the book of Philippians? And we are continuing our study in this book. We're going to see how we can glorify God by living a life that will glorify Him as we look at genuine love through and in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the context of the book of Philippians, we know that Acts 16 describes the founding of the Philippian church around 52 AD, 20 years after Pentecost. We see the tremendous reality of the Apostle Paul sharing the gospel with Lydia at the river, and her household is saved. We know that Paul is imprisoned for having cast out a demon from a slave girl, and in that prison with Silas, they're singing hymns and praising God. And God supernaturally released their chains. The jailer was going to kill himself. Paul stopped him because they didn't escape. They stayed there. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And then the Apostle Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved." And he also shared the word with them. And the Philippian jailer and his household came to faith in Jesus Christ. And thus we have the nucleus for the Philippian church formed. Now, time has gone by about 10 years, and the Apostle Paul and the Philippian church are very close to one another. We're going to see that later on in chapter 4. They're very concerned about Paul. They're also concerned about their brother Epaphroditus. And within that, we see that this church loved the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul loved them. Now, this is one of the Apostle Paul's prison epistles, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Philemon, again written around 62 AD when Apostle Paul was under house arrest in Rome. Now, I'm not going to share in depth as I have in the earlier messages. You can get those. But what we do see in this letter, what we see that it is about Christ. He is mentioned no less than 37 times directly, and then we have it indirectly throughout the book. Indeed, in chapter 1, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He is our life. In chapter 2, he is our perfect example of obedient humility, having taken on human flesh, becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross, and thus worthy of all glory because he is Lord. We see in chapter 3 that he is our focus, that everything about him is what we should be focusing on, that Paul considered everything as loss in view of gaining Christ and knowing him. And we should press forward to the goal of becoming like Jesus, to whom we will be with. Chapter 4, he is the one to stand firm, and he is the one through which, by his word, guards our hearts and minds by his spirit as we focus on him, as we set our mind on those things that are good. And he is the one through whom God will supply all our needs. He is our strength and our supply. This letter is about Christ, and it should cause us then to rejoice in the Lord. And again, as Paul would say, again, I say rejoice. We have such a wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an encouraging letter. And I hope you were encouraged last week when Paul began in chapter 1 his prayer. And he was thankful every time he was brought to remembrance of these Philippians. He was brought to thankfulness and petition for them, for God's past work in them, and he was confident that God would complete that work that he began until the day of Christ Jesus. He would complete it. Tremendous work. And now we move into the gist or the meat of the prayer that the Apostle Paul has in this first chapter, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11, where I believe, again, we're going to see how we can live a life that glorifies God. Look at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Tremendous little portion of scripture here. Tremendous set of verses. Well, are you a believer? Do you want to glorify God? Do you want to live a life that brings glory to the Lord? Well, I do. If you're a believer, I think you probably do too, right? So how can we do this? I believe we're going to see, first of all, that we need to abound more and more and more in true biblical love. And we're going to take a look at that specifically. Notice Paul's petition to God. He prays that they would abound in just that. Look at verse 9. And this I pray. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. He doesn't say, I pray that God will do this or this and this and this. He says, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. The term translated abound here speaks to be over and above, to overflow to excess. Think of saying that as abounding. And here it's in a present tense that it would continually, habitually abound. And notice he modifies it by this phrase, still or yet, more and more, to a greater degree. He's not saying that they don't have love that's abounding. He's saying that you do, but I'm praying that it would abound even still more, more and more and more. You see, true believers in some way, shape, or form are going to manifest the love of Christ. They're going to have God's love to some degree. But Paul prays that it would abound to a greater, greater degree. But this really begs the question, what is biblical love then? What is love from God's perspective? And I think today we're going to see a very important portion that explains really truly what love is and the boundaries of true biblical love, so that we do not deceive ourselves. We can think we are loving God and what we're doing or how we're acting or what we're thinking, and maybe we're not, but maybe we are. And God's word explains and gives us the boundaries and gives us a real understanding of what true biblical love is. Now, the word here translated love is a familiar word to some, agape. It speaks of the action of self-sacrifice for someone or something else, seeking another's best. Now, concerning love, we definitely see this in the person of our God. We know that God demonstrates, Romans 5:8, his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave us his only son to die for us. That's a demonstration of love. And we see this throughout many other passages. John 15, we have verse 13, greater love has none than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested or revealed in us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We see genuine love in the actions of our gracious God and our Savior, his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. He saw us as more important than himself. And he did that in the context of obeying the Father. Genuine love. And so we have this perfect picture of love in what Christ has done for us. When you want to know what love is, from that perspective, that's what love is. In what God has done for us in sending Jesus Christ for us. That self-sacrifice of the Son of God who gave himself for us. And then, when we look at this, we look at our passage again, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. But who is this love towards? Your love towards one another, towards God, towards the Roman Empire? Who is it to? Well, the text doesn't say explicitly, does it? And there are two prevailing interpretations that we can obviously understand. One is that this love is abounding for the brethren, maybe, or love for God abounding. So which one is right? Well, I think we're going to see it's actually both, you see, because when we grow for our love for Christ, we grow in our love for one another. They can't be separated, as we're going to see. If you truly love God, you're going to love him, as we'll see, by obeying his word towards one another and loving one another. We're going to see those things together. Love, in a general sense, encompasses the Lord God and those who are his. Again, 1 John 4:7, we see the tremendous reality. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So with that in mind, as we look at biblical love, we need to recognize, as I just shared from that passage, that true love originates from God. It is from God and not from us. You know, we can conjure up, in a sense, in our hearts, feelings towards people, whatever it might be. We can have desires or whatever. I love this, I love that, or this person, whatever it might be. But true biblical love comes from God. Beloved, love is from God. So what does this love for God look like? We see it for God and then for his people. What does it look like? You remember the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was asked about the greatest commandment, he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Now, the interesting thing is the Jews would say that same quote from Deuteronomy every single day, twice a day. As if they did love the Lord and they were in their sins. They would later say, crucify him. So we can say and have an understanding of loving God, but do we really love God? Do we really love him? What does that look like? Well, praise the Lord, we have it clearly relayed in his word. Again, love for God is placing his interest, as we will see, above our own. When you love someone, you place their interests above yours. Jesus makes that clear in John chapter 14, that biblical love is placing God's interest and thus what God says and obeying him above one's own interest. Look at John 14:21. And where does God reveal his interest and desires? In his word, right? In his commands that we see in his word. John 14, verse 21, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, shares this. He says, "He who has my commandments," verse 21, "and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you are to disclose yourself to us and not the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and I will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." A pretty simple statement. If you love me, you'll keep my word. You know, if you love your parents, you're going to do what they say. If you love yourself more, you're going to do what you want, right? It's that simple. It's that simple. He says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he loves me, and he who does not love me does not keep my word." Pretty simple. Love, in this context, is seeing God and thus his will from his word, his desires, as more important. Now, it doesn't mean our desires aren't wrong. You remember the Lord Jesus where he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." His will was not wrong, but he considered the Father's will as more important. That is love. It's not that all of our desires are wrong and evil and wicked, but it's that his desire needs to trump all of them in the context of a real love relationship with the Lord. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 15. We see that if someone has a love for the world, they don't have a love for God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world." Well, we have the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life, right? It says, don't love the things. Well, if anyone loves continually, habitually the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But then go back a little bit to verse 3 of chapter 2 of 1 John. Do you want to know if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ? Do you want to know? Let's look at verse 3 of chapter 2 of 1 John. "And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments." Now, it's a different word. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's his commands. Now, we know we all sin. Earlier, he said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. He says that if anyone says they have no sin, they're liars. So it's in that context. But by and large, true believers will obey his word. They'll have a desire to obey. We will fail. We will confess our sins. But he says, if, here, we can know, we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And then verse 4, the one who says, "I've come to know him, I've come to know Jesus," and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him, what? The love of God. Where'd that come from? The love of God is to be perfected. You see, when I truly love the Lord, I'm going to desire to obey the Lord. And that when I keep his word, his love is complete in me. It is perfected. Same word, complete. God's love in me is completed in a sense in that moment when I do what he says by his power and strength. "By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk in the same manner as he walked." We see this same principle in 1 John chapter 5 a little farther down. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. "For this is the love of God." This is the love of God. "That we keep his commandments." Now again, that's his commands. You could translate it that way. We do what he says. Now, when we do what he says, that's in the context of also him telling us we can't do anything apart from him, right? We do what he says by trusting in him, by relying on him, by obeying him by his power and strength, by depending on him through faith. And he says, and his commandments are not burdensome. For the true believer, when we're not in sin, they're very burdensome when we're in sin, by the way. But when you confess your sin and you're right with the Lord, his commands are not burdensome. They're good. You see, God's love is that which flows from a believer who's abiding in Christ. It is the fruit of the Spirit. We see that in Galatians chapter 5. The first thing is love. And love is the evidence of a changed life, and that love will manifest in a love for one another because God tells us how to interact with one another. God shows us in His Word to treat one another more important than ourselves, to think of you as more important than our wills. We see this in 1 John chapter 3, 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. And again, what does loving the brethren look like? So loving God, seeing Him as more important, I see His will is more important than my will, which could be okay, but His will is more important. And then also it's the same as seeing His people as more important. Look again at 1 John chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Hey, you're born again. You're His child. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. It's going to speak of His children, by the way, not just the child singular. By this, verse 2, we know that we love the children of God. By this, this is how you can know if you love, really love. Because out in the world, in church world, you know, love is just doing stuff for people. You know, that's maybe a loving act, maybe not. But here he says, by this we can know that we love the children of God. You can know when we love God and observe His commands. You know, when he says to be anxious for nothing, if I'm anxious around you, I'm not loving you. I'm being very selfish, aren't I? Right? If I'm angry at you, I'm being very selfish. I'm not loving you, am I? He says, don't be angry. Don't the sun go down in your anger. There's so many commands you look at that when we disobey His word, what manifests in that is a lack of love for those around us. And so within this, we see that biblical love is a love that is God's love as we abide in Christ, trusting in Him, obeying His word, allowing His desires to become our desires. When His desires, as revealed in the Word, become our desires, when we see them as the most important, we are loving Him, and that is what is loving one another. Now, again, we don't do that perfectly, right? And when we don't, we confess, and God forgives us. So then, we see that we love by allowing His perfect love to flow through us as we obey His Word in the context of trusting in Him. Now, some of you, if you were honest, you would say today, from that definition, I don't love God, and thus I don't love His people. And to be honest, you love yourself. We're all there. We all come into this world being self-lovers. That's all we care about ultimately, and we care about other people, but only how it affects us. And God changes that when you trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. You're forgiven of your sins. Your heart is cleansed. And He changes your desires and your nature that you can love Him and love His people. He gives you a desire to obey His word. And when you don't obey it, we feel awful. We feel convicted. We recognize our sin. Some of you have not loved God. You don't love God. You never have. You love yourself. But I've got some good news, friend. God considered you as more important than Himself. He considered you. You being in prison to your sins on the road to judgment, He gave His Son in your place. God requires death for sin. And if you don't respond, you will die in your sins and you will spend eternity in punishment. But He sent His Son instead in your place, and He took the full wrath of God for your sins. And if you are willing to admit that and turn to Jesus and call upon Him, He will save you from your sins.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Greg, in our time together here in studio, talk to us about how we're to apply the truth that we've heard today.
Well, David, the practical application is this. We can know if we're in a genuine relationship with Jesus if we have a love for him and a love for his people. And so how does that look? Well, we've just begun to see. So join us for our next few broadcasts as we're going to continue to look at what genuine love looks like.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Yeah.